So I can see it all over America. The agenda items for what meetings are going to take place this morning may be scratched out and added.
Yeah.
What does this health care plan mean? Doctors' offices, university medical centers, clinics all over the United States.
Families?
Certainly families. Yeah. Indeed. It's figuring out where the details affect individuals that's going to really inform the conversations all week long, I would think.
And decisions that in some cases are going to have to wait for 4 years while they wait for this to kick in, but there's still decisions that have to be made.
And the planning will begin probably this morning. And joining us now to give us a feel for the kinds of questions that they're formulating in their own minds about where this affects them, the vote 219 to 212. There were plenty of votes to spare. The House passes health care reform. But what does it mean to Michael Promenko, who's a family physician in Grand Junction, Colorado, and the president-elect of the Colorado Medical Society? Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
And John Brown joins us. He's vice president of Brown Furniture Company in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And continuing with us is Dr. Herbert Pardes, who's president and CEO of the huge nonprofit but private hospital, New York Presbyterian Hospital and Medical Center. Dr. Pardes, thanks so much.
Nice to be with you.
So let's think back to the beginning of the debate and the outlines of what were the issues that America was going to address if it indeed was going to pass health care reform. And certainly the first among those missions was to make it easier for primary care physicians to do more for patients and less sort of bureaucratic paperwork for Washington and insurance companies. Michael Promenko, how does this bill help that mission? Does it make it easier for you to do your job?
Well, we've still got work to do to make sure that happens. What the bill does is gets us on a pathway of sustainability to where it's more likely that that's going to happen.
So you see this stops the bleeding, but there are important programmatic steps that you're looking for really in the next few years.
Correct. It's a framework to build upon.
All right. The other mission, of course, that was talked about at the beginning of the debate on health care reform was getting more people insured, getting poor people who have no availability of health care reform, and getting small businesses to insure, to be able to afford programs to insure their employees. John Brown at Brown Furniture Company, how does that stand with you this morning?
Well, I can't help but be very hopeful. I'm, of course, hoping that by adding about 32 million people to the insurance pool that premiums will somehow eventually come down by bending the cost curve. But, of course, the utilitarian argument of covering an additional 32 million people, whether it brings my premiums down or not, is also a very hopeful sign.
Now, you don't have to cover 32 million there at Brown Furniture Company. How many more people would you like to cover, or how much cost reduction are you needing?
Well, it's not just a specific figure. It's just that every year the premiums continue to rise. Last year they rose 28% in our company. This year for me personally it was about 10%. Every 5 years my insurance will go up 10 to 15% three times a year because my wife and I are the same age and it changes every 5 years. So it's just a matter of decreasing those premiums because, of course, we don't get an increase in salary every year.
Indeed, and which leads us directly to Dr. Herbert Pardes and the other issue which really dominated the debate. Does this bill affect health care inflation, either in terms of cost of premiums or costs of delivering services on the part of an organization like a New York Presbyterian Hospital that you're president and CEO of?
Well, there are intentions to also cut the cost, but if I were putting the focus on the bill, I'd first focus on what it does for people. And the elimination of pre-existing conditions, the ability of young people to stay on their parents' insurance until 26, the elimination of lifetime caps, the greater number of people being insured. I think from an individual point of view, there are many positives in the bill.
And we should note those things take effect immediately, I believe, right?
Those two things will take place. They take place at different times. The thing that will have to be sketched out for people is the fact that there are different things that happen over a period of time.
But the pre-existing conditions and the staying on your parents' insurance, I believe, does happen immediately.
I don't have the exact year when that starts.
But, well, what's your concern as a hospital CEO right now?
Well, first of all, I think what happens for patients is what we focus on first. So I think this is a good news development for patients. As hospitals, we are continually working to try to find ways to gain efficiencies and to reduce costs. There are demonstration projects that are going to be encouraged through the bill. There's an innovation center that will be present in government to look at new ways of delivering care and trying to do it at a less costly level.
Michael Promenko, is there a patient in your practice or someone that you know who's got a question probably right off the bat for you this morning?
Oh, yeah, I've got plenty of patients that will be asking questions about that. I think a good number of my patients are going to be concerned about the cost of this. They'll also be concerned about the pre-existing condition issue for folks that aren't in my clinic that can't get insurance. There's going to be a lot of questions about the cost of this.
And talk about the pre-existing conditions for a moment. We heard earlier this hour that there will be a pool available for certain pre-existing condition uninsured patients that will take effect immediately, but the availability of that money may not hang around longer than a year.
Yeah, correct. I mean, there's some things in this plan that, you know, are again, frameworks, and there's some things that will need to fall in place over the next few years to make some of these mechanisms happen in a cost-efficient way. This, again, provides the framework. We've got to get busy working on using that to make it happen.
What kind of a day is today? This is a blank day for America. What would you say, Michael?
This is a historic day that sets us in the right direction on health care reform.
Michael Promenko, family physician in Grand Junction, Colorado, who we've spoken with over the last year and a half of health care reform debates. John Brown, vice president of Brown Furniture Company in Shawnee, Oklahoma. This is a blank day for America. What would you say?
Well, I'm just very hopeful that this bill brings positive changes to a system that has been ignored for way too long.
All right, John Brown, hopeful day, I would say. Dr. Herbert Pardes, what would you fill in the blank with?
I think this is an extraordinary day for the country. The key issue will be how to work out many of the particulars, and that's going to take quite a while. It's a complex bill, but it's extremely important.
Dr. Herbert Pardes, president and CEO of New York Presbyterian Hospital. What particulars do you want worked out? Fill in the blank for us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Reacting to healthcare reform, the laws must change.